Writing, Dodds Abal. Who would have believed that our entire educational system was wrong after all? 17 years after liberation, the newspapers told us, our schools were not bringing us up to be good red socialists and communists, as we had thought, but revisionists. We thanked heaven that Chairman Mao had started this cultural revolution, and that the Central Committee of the Communist Party had uncovered the mess in our schools. Otherwise, we would not even have known that we were in trouble. What a frightening idea. One Monday, all school classes were suspended indefinitely. All students were directed instead to participate in the movement by writing big posters, Dodds Abal, criticizing the educational system. Rolls of white paper, dozens of brushes, and many bottles of red and black ink were brought into the classrooms. The teachers were nowhere to be seen. The classrooms buzzed with revolutionary fervor. Students spread large sheets of paper on desks and gathered around, eagerly shouting suggestions. Some roamed the rooms, reading comments aloud over people's shoulders, calling to others. Girls and boys ran outside to put up their Dodds Abal and ran back in to write more. Desks, ping-pong tables, and even the floor were taken over for writing Dodds Abal. When the white paper was gone, the students used old newspaper instead. Dodds Abal were everywhere, in classrooms, along the hallways, and even on the brick walls of the schoolyard. The row of tall parasol trees that lined the inside of the schoolyard was festooned with more Dodds Abal, hanging like flowers from the branches. Long ropes strung across the playground were covered with still more Dodds Abal, looking like laundry hung out to dry. I stared at the large sheet of paper spread out in front of me, wondering what to write. It was strange. When I had read the newspaper, I had been enraged by the revisionist educational system that had been poisoning our youth for so many years. But now that I actually had to criticize the teachers who taught us every day, I could not find anything really bad to say about any of them. I went over to An Yi's desk. Just as I guessed, the papers in front of her and her seatmate, Zhang Jie, were also blank. "I just can't think of anything to write," I complained. "Neither can we. I might as well just give up." An Yi put her brush down and stretched. "Hey, everybody has to write something. You're no exception. Do you want everyone to think you have a bad political attitude?" Zhang Jie was joking, but it made us think. "Why don't we go out to the playground to see what everybody else is writing?" Zhang Jie went on. "It's better to copy something than not to write anything at all. What do you say?" We walked out to the schoolyard. The classroom had been crowded, but there were even more students outside. Du Hai was shouting, "Hey, this is great! Everybody, look at what Pauper's done! She put the principal's name upside down!" Ragged-looking Pauper smiled with satisfaction. "I saw my big sister writing one last night. She wrote the name upside down and then put a big red X over it. She said that's what the court used to do to criminals." The three of us stopped before a Dodds Abal signed an anti-revisionist. An Yi read aloud, "Although teachers do not hold bombs or knives, they are still dangerous enemies. They fill us with insidious revisionist ideas. They teach us that scholars are superior to workers. They promote personal ambition by encouraging competition for the highest grades. All these things are intended to change good young socialists into corrupt revisionists. They are invisible knives that are even more dangerous than real knives or guns. For example, a student from Yukai High School killed himself because he failed the university entrance examination. Brainwashed by his teachers, he believed his sole aim in life was to enter a famous university and become a scientist." "Hey!" I stopped her in surprise. "This was all copied from the Youth Post. I read it the other day." "So what? It's always okay to copy Dodds Abal," Zhang Jia said. She turned to another Dodds Abal. "Look, this one is by Yin Lan Lan." Yin Lan Lan had written, "As one of its victims, I denounce the revisionist educational system. Being from a working-class family, I have to do a lot more housework than students from rich families, so I have difficulty passing exams. I was forced to repeat grades 3 times, and I was not allowed to be a young pioneer or to participate in the school choir. The teachers think only of grades when evaluating a student. They forget that we, the working class, are the masters of our socialist country." Yin Lan Lan? A victim? I was flabbergasted. Yin Lan Lan had flunked 3 times. She rarely spoke up in class. When she was asked to answer a question, she would just stand there without saying a word. She was not very bright.
"She failed 3 courses out of 5. How could she blame the teachers for that?" An Yi sneered.
Zhang Jia slumped her shoulders and bowed her head in imitation of Yin Lan Lan. We burst out laughing and immediately looked around to see if anyone was watching us. Zhang Jia made a face.
Sheet after sheet, article after article, each da zibao was a bitter accusation. One was titled, "Teacher Li, Abuser of the Young."
The student had failed to hand in her homework on time, and Teacher Li had told her to copy the assignment over 5 times as punishment. Another student said his teacher had deliberately ruined his students' eyesight by making them read a lot so they could not join the Liberation Army. Still another accused Teacher Wang of attempting to corrupt a young revolutionary by buying her some bread when he learned that she had not eaten lunch. The more I read, the more puzzled I became. Did the teachers really intend to ruin our health and corrupt our minds? If so, why hadn't I ever noticed? Was I so badly taken in that I was unable to see them for what they really were? I remember Du Hai's taunt, "You teacher's obedient little lamb." I thought of Teacher Gu, who was like a stern but loving mother to me. I thought of An Yi's mother, Teacher Wei, who had won so many model teacher awards because of her dedication to her work. No matter how I tried, I just could not relate them to the villains described in the Da Zibao. To fulfill my responsibility as a revolutionary, I listed all my teachers. One by one, I considered them carefully. Unfortunately, none of them seemed to hate the party or oppose Chairman Mao. I could not write a Da Zibao about any of them. Finally, I decided to copy an article from the newspaper instead. A few days later, when I got to school, I was told we were going to post Da Zibao on the houses of some of the bourgeoisie living near the school. The class was divided into 2 groups. One was going to confront Old Chan, a stern and frightening man who stalked our alleys, speaking to no one. The other group was going to challenge Jiang Shiwen, an unpleasant woman who lived in a house behind the schoolyard. I was assigned to the group going to Jiang Shiwen's house. Of course, this was not coincidence, not at all. They all knew that she was my relative. Aunt Shi Wen was really my father's cousin, but I always called her aunt. She was at least 50 years old, but she dressed stylishly and wore makeup, so she looked closer to 30. I knew my classmates did not like her one bit. "What makes her think she's so wonderful?" they sneered. "Just look at those clothes she got from her sister in America. Look at her makeup. Bourgeois. Disgusting." I had always disapproved of her, too. Chairman Mao taught us that inner beauty is much more valuable than outward appearance. How could she ignore what Chairman Mao said? Song Po Po had told me that even Aunt Shi Wen's youngest son often grumbled about his mother's behavior. Just a few weeks earlier, Aunt Shi Wen had complained to the school because some students had climbed into her yard to pick mulberry leaves for their silkworms. This latest affront was too much for the students to bear. About 20 of us formed a straggling column. Yin Lan Lan was first in line. She carried the Da Zibao, and Du Hai, carrying a brush and a bucket of paste, followed her. Behind them, 2 students struck a gong and beat a drum.
"Let's go!"
Yin Lan Lan waved her arm vigorously, and the group marched off.
I watched her with interest. Yinlan Lan had changed a great deal. No longer hesitant and clumsy, she had become vocal, aggressive, and confident. She stood up straight and threw out her chest, whereas before she had always slouched. She and Duhai had taken the leading roles in this movement. The usual leaders of the class, including me, were holding back for some reason. Yu Jian, chairman of the class and one of the best students, was somewhere in the middle of the line, while I dawdled so that I could be in the back of the group. I didn't want Aunt Shi Wen to see me. Although I did not approve of her, and although I supported today's revolutionary action, she was still my relative. But I dared not ask to switch to the other group. I would certainly be criticized for letting my family relationships interfere with my political principles. I had no choice but to go. Someone rang the bell. We waited in the narrow passageway outside the door, whispering among ourselves. Before long, Aunt Shi Wen came to the door. She was not wearing makeup, and she looked older and less attractive than usual. She seemed taken aback at the sight of us. Her welcoming expression turned into one of nervous surprise. Duhai took the lead. "Down with the bourgeois Jiang Shi Wen! Long live Mao Zedong thought," he shouted. We repeated the slogans. Then Yinlan Lan recited, "Our great leader, Chairman Mao, has taught us every reactionary is the same. If you do not hit him, he will not fall. This is also like sweeping the floor. As a rule, where the broom does not reach, the dust will not vanish by itself." Her voice was loud and forceful. "Today, we proletarian revolutionary young guards have come to revolt against you bourgeoisie. Jiang Shi Wen, this is our Da Zibao. You are to post it on your door now." She shook the white paper in front of Aunt Shi Wen's nose. Aunt Shi Wen tried to smile to show her support of the proletarian revolutionary young guards, but the smile froze before it was fully formed. It was hard to tell whether she was smiling or crying. "Yes, yes, I will," she said repeatedly. She took the paste and began to brush it on the door. I could see the brush quivering in her hand. It was an unusually hot and humid day, and with the 20 of us crowded into her entryway, it felt even hotter. Aunt Shi Wen gave the door a few more good swipes of paste before she stopped and wiped the sweat off her forehead. Then she took the Da Zibao and stuck it to the door, smoothing it out without hesitation in spite of the ink that blacked her hands. "Now read it out loud," Yinlan Lan shouted as soon as Aunt Shi Wen finished. Aunt Shi Wen had not expected this. She gaped at us in alarm. She did not want to read the terrible things written about her, but she did not dare refuse. Her face was ugly with distress. She knew that no one would challenge anything we revolutionaries did to her. I did not want her to see me. I bent down and pretended to tie my shoelaces, but I could not block out her voice, dry, hoarse, and trembling. "Refusal to let students pick mulberry leaves was an attack on proletarian students. The more you try to improve your outward appearance, the filthier your heart becomes. Your black bourgeois bones are clearly visible to our proletarian eyes. Remold yourself conscientiously." I kept my eyes on my shoelaces and tried not to listen. "Hey, what's the matter with you?" Someone pushed me, and I realized that it was over. On the way back to school, everyone joked and laughed at Aunt Shi Wen's humiliation. "Jiang Ji Li, your aunt really lost face today, didn't she?" Duhai shouted. I could feel every classmate staring at me. I raised my head and said loudly, "It serves her right." I made an effort to laugh and joke along with the others. "Look at that," someone said with surprise. I raised my head. The door of Grandpa Hong's bookstall had been sealed with several Da Zibao. It was too far away to read them. All I could make out were a few words from the titles of the posters. Propagating feudal, capitalistic, and revisionist ideals. poisoning our youth. My mind was full of all the stories I had read there. Now the stories were finished. They were part of the bad system that was going to destroy socialism. I shook my head hard, as if to shake all the evil stories out of my mind. Ji Li, come on. Come to school right now. Someone's written a dudzi bao about you. Come on, let's go. An Yi dashed into our apartment, full of alarm. She dragged me to my feet and pulled me to the stairs. Wait! I shook off her grasp. Hold on, what did you say? Your name appeared in a dudzi bao. I could not believe it. My name? Why? I'm not a teacher. Why would they write a dudzi bao about me? I could feel my heart race. I don't know, but I saw it with my own eyes. Du Hai and Yin Lan Lan and a couple of others were writing it. I couldn't read it, but I saw your name in the title. She wheezed heavily and looked at me, wide-eyed. We hurried off to the school playground, where the newest dudzi bao were posted, and searched frantically. There it is. Suddenly I caught sight of it. The large red characters were like blood on the poster. Let's look at the relationship between Kacheng Li and his favorite student, Jiang Ji Li. I suddenly felt dizzy. Relationship? Me? A relationship with a male teacher? The whole world faded before my eyes. The only things I could see were the name Jiang Ji Li and the word relationship. A shaft of evening sunlight flashed on my name. The characters danced before my eyes, growing larger and redder, almost swallowing me up. An Yi was shaking me. Her eyes were full of tears, and she was staring at me anxiously. I could not speak. I grabbed her arm, and we ran out of the schoolyard. We stopped at the back door of a small cigarette shop nearby. An Yi tried to say something, but I wouldn't let her. We leaned against the wall for a long time without saying a word. Let's go home. An Yi touched me softly on the elbow. It was getting dark. You go ahead. I'm going to read the word dudzi bao stuck in my throat. An Yi nodded worriedly and left. A half moon brightened the sky, and the schoolyard was laced with the ghostly shadows of the parasol trees. I picked my way through the shadows and found the dudzi bao again. Now, under the cover of darkness, I could let myself cry. I wiped the tears away with my hand, but the more I wiped, the more they came. I pressed my handkerchief to my face. Finally, my eyes cleared enough to see. Kacheng Li doesn't like working-class kids. He only likes rich kids. He made Jiang Ji Li the teacher's assistant for math class and gave her higher grades. And he also let her win all the math contests and awarded her a lot of notebooks. We have to ask the question. What is the relationship between them after all? The blood rushed into my head. I felt like throwing up. I leaned against the wall and rested my head on it. A shadow approached. I tensed and got ready to run. The shadow called out, Ji Li, it's me. I came back. I was getting worried. An Yi's voice made the tears gush out of my eyes again. Oh, An Yi, how could they say these things? How could they say them? A relationship between Teacher Ke and me? It's all lies. My voice was hoarse. It's so unfair. I have never gotten one point, not a single point, that I didn't deserve. And I spent so much time helping Yin Lan Lan and the others with their arithmetic, and now they go and insult me like this. It's disgusting. I could not go on. I bit my handkerchief to hold back my sobs. An Yi kept silent for a while. She walked beside me with her hand tightly clasping my shoulder. There are a lot of dudzi bao about my mom, too. she said at last in a soft voice. They said she was a monster and a class enemy. I stopped. I was afraid to look at her. Her hand squeezed my shoulder, and I felt her sobbing quietly. We stood together like that for a long time, in the darkness and the silence.